Hi, I'm Jabulani Myberg.
And I'm Isaac Pinter. We are associate pastors at Central Baptist Church.
And welcome to our Theology Alive podcast, where we look to engage theology in the church, carried out in the culture, using a Christian worldview.
Hello. Awe, Jabu.
Yo, welcome. Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of our Theology Alive podcast.
Hello, everybody. It is good to be with you guys again. So we have something slightly different today.
Look, if we could paint the picture for you, today we taking the ties off, we closing our laptops, and we just chatting. We are calling this our freestyle episode.
So there is no papers in front of us with quotes or nothing. Our laptops are not here.
Nope.
We are going to just freestyle it.
We have to be honest, okay? I do have my Bible here.
And so it's something good to have in front of you.
We are a Theology Alive podcast, and we stand firm on the truths of Scripture. But besides that, I mean, we just really want to have conversations, just chat about literally whatever comes to mind or something that was a highlight of ours during the week or even in the months gone by, and just see where this the episode takes us.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jabu, I think maybe let me just kick it off by saying that I'm encouraged for this new season. I'm encouraged to let's say after the lockdown, this kind of like a feeling of a reset and let things get started again. We have done a whole bunch of new things, new implementation. For some of the guys, like in our church, they're feeling a bit overwhelmed, like, what is happening?
Yeah.
There is a lot of new stuff going on, but I'm just so thankful in how God has provided for us, how God has sustained us, and excited for the new season, man.
Yeah, it has really been exciting to just see just people coming back to worship. I think I remember the first Sunday, the second Sunday. The first Sunday we actually had trouble. I remember we had a bit of trouble with our screen, but you know that just came with COVID. You know, we have to become tech savvy. I don't think I've used the word content as much as I have in the last few months because of COVID, but no, it was good to see people coming back, and it's just a sense of longing for fellowship. You know, after the service, people are staying over, people are communicating, people are chatting, and it's just an opportunity again to restore the beauty of what church is, the beauty of fellowship, the beauty of edifying one another and using our gifts in the kingdom.
And especially this past Sunday, oh man, just seeing people getting baptized, both Campus Hill and Arcadia, it is just so encouraging, you know, to new people coming into the church, getting baptized, and growing in their spiritual walk. So that has been really, really great to see. Sure. You know,
isn't that just that beautiful reminder of what the church is? So at Central, we've been going through a series in Hebrews, and we've really parked a bit in Hebrews 11, where Pastor Charles has really been unpacking, you know, these people who we've known as the heroes of the faith. And he's just really been unpacking how these guys first had an encounter with God, where they came to faith in him, and that faith played itself out in their obedience and just in how they've been just living out their faith. And when we see baptism services, it's just a beautiful reminder of that which happens in your heart, where, you know, you were once living for the world, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you had rejected God, you sought to enjoy the pleasures of this world, and then you heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit really revealed your sinfulness in light of God's holiness, and brought you to a place where no longer you're dead in your trespasses and sins, but you're now made alive. And again, we see this in the in that image of baptism where, you know, we dunk the people into the pool, where they are saying that, listen, we have died with Christ, and we were buried with him. And when they come out of the pool, they're saying we're now walking in newness of life, which is just a beautiful picture and image of the gospel.
It is. And I think you and me, we both had the privilege of baptizing them on Sunday.
We were the dunk masters.
We dunk. We don't sprinkle. Hey?
No. Full immersion.
There we go. And I think you've been saying about the picture of baptism. We see that in Romans 6, and just death to the old life, new life in Christ. And for us, for me, one of the most amazing pictures is when they're coming out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, it is just, and we have that, picture right in front of our eyes that illustrates, beautiful. They, you know, just come out and it seems like, we sometimes still like wiping their eyes and all that, but just afterwards, just this big smile comes out, right? So it's great.
I always joke. So before we baptize people, we have baptism class, and I always tell them that, you know, as you go into the water, symbolizing you died with Christ, and depending on how nice you were to me, that's the duration how long I'll keep you under to reflect that you were buried with him. Some people I'm tempted to keep 3 days.
3 days,
so we keep them down for a bit, and then they come up out of the water, and then there's that sense of, and it's like life, you know. I'm alive with Christ. I'm walking in newness of life, and just thinking about that, Isaac, you know, it comes back to that idea of obedience. I think we are living in an age where, you know, walking in newness of life does not mean what it used to mean.
Sure.
It almost means that, listen, what I'm symbolizing in the waters of baptism is just a reflection of what's going to happen in eternity, and what happened at the point where I believed. Mm-hmm. And from the point where I believed to eternity, I'm just going to live life expecting that which is to come, but not necessarily living that out today in terms of living out my obedience today, living for Christ today. Mm-hmm. And we see it with so many people where there's just so many casual Christians. I was reading, I think it was a survey. Let me quickly check. Since this is a freestyle episode, I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah.
oh, dude, listen to this. I found this on Twitter, so I can't quote the source because I don't remember who it was. But it says, on average, users in the USA spend 2 hours and 3 minutes on social media every day. On average, users in USA spend 4 hours watching videos per day. So that is 6 hours and 3 minutes on your phone every day. And honestly, with so much intake from the world, how do we think that we will not get indoctrinated by the world's philosophies and the world's ideologies and the world's worldview? Because if we were being honest, in contrast to this 6.3 hours, how much time a believer is actually spending in his word, and how much time a believer is spending in the church.
And I think one of the things, you know, in terms of the newness of life, often sometimes you can replicate and do things, you know, for church, and it can become just that which we do, you know, like I'm used to this. But I was talking even with someone yesterday, about just a need for a renewed passion.
Sure.
Right, just passion that you are there on Sundays to worship your master, and you love him, and you want to just give all of yourself towards him and sing with gusto.
Sure.
Even if the sound isn't great, or you know, the we are striving to do things better in our technology and all of that.
Sure.
But our inclination in terms of worship shouldn't be determined by the outside
preach
circumstances, right?
Yes, sir. See,
it's a hard issue where,
yes, sir,
where I want to pray, I want to serve, I want to worship our God with all that what I have, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is Sunday after Sunday, but yet we must not grow cold, but be walking in newness of life, that even throughout the week, seeking his face. And I know we it's not about becoming legalistic,
no,
you know, but I'm talking about heart, you know, the heart.
Isn't it that idea of return to me the joy of my salvation? That idea of, man, when I look at the atoning work of Christ on Calvary, I'm just moved to respond in a manner of gratitude that, man, God came to become flesh, died on the cross, bearing all my sin and shame, was buried and rose again, that I can have life and have it eternally.
Hallelujah.
And seeing that picture and having the privilege of listening to testimonies of people being baptized and enjoying even the Lord's table, just reminders of, man, Christ saved me from much. So he's calling me to live for him. And it's that word that not a lot of people like. It's the word we are supposed to be slaves.
Mm-hmm.
It is that Greek word doulos.
Yeah.
We are to be slaves of righteousness, because we were once slaves to sin.
Yeah.
But because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and when we were justified through faith in Jesus Christ, we were then freed from the shackles and the chains of sin.
Yeah.
And now we become slaves to righteousness.
Amen.
Which means, God, my life is yours. My work is yours. My marriage is yours. My children are yours. My car is yours. Whatever you want to do with it, Lord, do with it as you please.
Yeah.
So, having that mentality sort of answers the question, where is the church on Monday? Where are the Christians in the workplaces? Where are the Christians in the malls? Where are the Christians in the schools? Mm. You see, we will find them only when they come to realize what a great privilege it is to be a Christian, and what the implications of the gospel are on a day-to-day life.
And I think that is noticeable.
Yeah.
It will come overflow in your life, you know, if your joy in Christ is real. Your colleagues at work will notice your posture changes. I do get that the gospel sometimes it's a repelling factor. First Corinthians tells us, you know, that for some is the stench of death.
Yeah.
But there is a certain attractiveness of Christians living out their lives that makes people feel like, what is that about? What there is this light that person, right? Light of the earth, light of the world, sought of the earth, and being different, being looking different, your posture is different, you are full of joy, circumstances they can get hard, yet you are hopeful.
Sure.
All of that because of your union with Christ. And it is, I think, great to see, even in our church, members, it's encouraging, even when members go through hardships, you know, we, and yet they remain hopeful. You know, God is going to provide. God is helping us, whether that be through a new opportunity of work of other church members, just helping, looking out for church members. I just want to give a shout out here for all those church members that have even taken the initiative and cared for others without even having to, you know, to other people. Some of those instances we may not even know. And I just want to say that God sees that which you are doing, and it is encouraging to see a fellowship, encouragement, in living life with one another, in the church.
Yeah. And I mean, we will definitely look to appreciate, you know, many of those who are just serving God and are loving and are just caring in the local church.
Yeah.
But this should also be an encouragement for those moments where nobody notices.
Mm.
Nobody sees all that you're doing. Nobody comes to you and says, listen, Isaac, thank you so much, man, for playing the guitar and for leading us in worship. If nobody does it, don't lose heart, because he who has called you is faithful.
Amen.
And it is he who is going to rightly reward you, rightly bless you. I mean, essentially, that's essentially what we're talking about. Yeah. All of our lives are revolving around God, and he sees all that we do.
Amen.
And he rewards those who joyfully seek him, and he rewards the righteous.
Yeah.
And I think there's something else that I want us to think about. Does this mean now, if we're talking about this selfless living, this Christian lifestyle where my life revolves around Christ, revolves around his word, does this mean that I can't watch series, I can't listen to music? When I'm playing a sport, I mean, Isaac and I play Monday night football. Does this mean that when we are jamming on the field, we should have our Bibles always ready and just on the field, and somebody tackles us, just like, Listen, you heard me, but John 3:16, brother. what are we saying? How does that play itself out? You know, on a day to day. Well,
so, dude, let me before I answer, like, let me just share some a funny story. My dad I used to play soccer with my dad only from time to time. Also five a side. You know, on Thursdays, we went back when I was in Johannesburg. And then, my dad, you know, he didn't always come, but, you know, certain times we will be playing, and while we are playing, you know, he's not at that young age anymore. Yeah. So he's not running too much, but while we're playing, he's trying to evangelize the referee. Talking to the referee, sharing the gospel with the referee. So there it is, living life.
So it happens.
It happens, man. It happens. Nah. You know, I think that there is a certain part of that idea of, well, in every way we must, you know, not seclude ourselves.
Mm.
And it was, I think, part of what gave birth to the monasteries, and where they will separate.
Yeah.
They don't want to be influenced by the world. Their schedule was pretty hectic, and it was all about worshiping and doing farming and everything for the Lord and all of that.
Sorry, talking about monasteries, I can't help but Isaac is developing a monk haircut.
Oh, no ways, dude. No ways.
I couldn't help it.
I was just getting ready for Reformation Day.
Oh, yeah, that's is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. No. Yeah, and the thought was, you know, this is going to keep us holy. But the problem was that sin came with them. Right? Sin came with them into the monastery. But I think it's the scriptures are very clear in terms of being in in the world, being, you know, salt in the world. We have to be not just confined to our comfort around other believers in the setting of the church, but in the workplace, in mission work, and wherever we are, school, work, living for Him. And I think that we have to be immersed into the world, yet living for Him. And the small things that we do, even in our entertainment, you know, is it God glorifying? It doesn't mean you need to stop watching TV, but what is it? Scripture speaks about examining everything, and so having that mindset that we ought to, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, right? Not everything is going to help you in your sanctification process. Yeah. Not every program is okay for you to watch.
You know, doesn't it start with a good understanding of our identity? You know, I think about back in high school. Man, I was a developing rebel. I was a rebel in development, or a rebel in construction. And I hated a blazer.
Yeah,
hated wearing a blazer. I was one of those kids who went to the same school for 12 years.
Okay.
And our school only introduced blazers when I was in grade 9.
Oh, really?
So from grade 9 to grade 12, I dreaded blazers. Every opportunity I had to take my blazer off, I would take that blazer off.
We're completely opposites, dude. Yeah. So I came from Brazil. Guys, don't wear blazers there in Brazil. You know, you have the shirt of the school and then the jeans and stuff like that. So when I moved to Peru, there's also blazers, you know, like the suit. And we're like, oh, that is so cool. It's so like so nice and neat and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, man, I dreaded it. I hated blazers. So the thing about my principal is she had this love for the school. And she wants her school to be well represented. So I always tell our teens that what's happening at the school is you are a walking billboard. You literally, wherever you go when you're wearing the uniform, you are advertising the school.
Yep.
So if you're sitting in the corner wearing your uniform, enjoying a Zol, you are misrepresenting the school. And that's why the school gets mad. You're wearing the uniform, you're representing the school. Yep. So therefore, you're saying that the school approves of you sitting on the corners, not being home, doing your work, and enjoying us all. Now, that's sort of the idea of when you understand your identity in Christ, it means that wherever you go, you are representing somebody.
Yeah.
In fact, we learn from the scriptures that, I think it's in Philippians, that man, we are citizens of heaven.
Amen.
And as citizens of heaven, we've been given a uniform. And that uniform is the righteousness of Christ, which He has enclothed us. I mean, that's the term used. We've been enclothed with the righteousness of Christ. So wherever we go, we ought to be representing Christ, sharing the gospel, ensuring that our words are seasoned with salt, live peaceably with all men, protecting yourself with the whole armor of God, but at the same time, bearing all the fruits of the Spirit. So there's a balance between protecting yourself from being contaminated and at the same time being in the mix and being influential.
Yeah.
Because there is that reality that, you know, as you are walking in the world, you either are being influenced or you are influencing. And it's always good for us to be asking ourselves a question, man, in my circles, am I being influenced or am I influencing these guys towards Christ, towards godliness, towards reflecting Him?
Yeah. Both of us have deal with children in youth ministry and kids ministry. And I always found it just an interesting thing when children were like, He lied in church. lied in church.
In church.
In church.
Hi, he did.
And I remember I used to like ask him, so is it okay to lie outside of church?
Yeah.
You know, but, and it's interesting. We see it in kids in terms of, a mindset that there is church where things supposed to be holier and sacred. And then outside of church is a different story. But I think sometimes adults have the same.
Yeah. They just don't say it as the kids do.
Yeah, have the same mindset. You know, I need to behave, you know, really proper, you know, coming to church and outside of the church work context, it's different, you know, I saw this quote, from Paul Washer. I think it's a recent one. It probably is because, of what it says. It says, some of you are against wearing, masks inside the church, but you've been doing it for years.
Yo.
Drop the mic.
Ooh.
You know, so this idea that there is, two different, you know, places, but the truth is, you're so right. It's my identity in Christ lives for Christ everywhere, you know, inside the church, outside of the church, my identity is secure. I know exactly who I am in Christ, who I'm supposed to be. I'm representing Him wherever I go. And so people are looking at me and seeing I'm the same person inside the church and outside the church. Yeah.
You know, I just thought I mean, I have to use this Bible since it's in front of me. And, you know, Colossians 3:1 says, if then you have been raised, we spoke about this, you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For if you have died, if you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, for you have died and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Mm. That's the idea of Christian living. We are living today, enjoying His grace today, but also looking ahead.
Yeah.
Always asking ourselves the question, man, am I representing my King well? Am I representing my Lord well? And that's the idea of in the whole week as we are interacting with different people, as we are living our lives, when we gather, we are all gathering as a body of believers. And the reality is there are some among us who have been wearing the mask in the church, some among us who haven't been living for Christ. And man, we're not here to condemn you, but we're here to say, look to Christ. Christ, he forgives of all sin and he wipes your slate clean. But then he also says, now repent and live for me. Set your minds and things above. Ask yourself, when you're working, what is your purpose?
Sure.
Is it to get rich or die trying, as I said in a previous episode? Or are you asking yourself in the workplace, God, how can I honor you here? With my pay, how can I honor you? When a father raising the children, a mother nourishing your children, ask yourself the question, Lord, how can I honor you with our children? When you go on holiday, even that time of rest, God, how can I still honor you here? Although I'm not going to be with the saints gathering, but I am still to honor you. I'm still to lift up your name and live for your glory. So there must be that constant asking of ourselves and reflecting our hearts. God, man, am I living looking above? No, seeking the glory of God, seeking to honor the Lord. Or have I been consumed with self, consumed with the passion of this age, consumed by those around me who have become influencers to the point where it's even difficult to say, oh, guys, what we've been doing is actually wrong. We need to repent and let's change.
Yeah. And I think that I want you to hear us that, yeah, the standard is high, but you're not alone. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Is the being alive, meaning you are waging war against sin. Yes. So it's not like, please don't misunderstand what we're saying, thinking that our tone is like we got it all together. We are fighting with sin daily. And the fight is real, but it's a constant looking to Christ, repenting. But just knowing, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. God is working in us, transforming us into the image of Christ from glory to glory. And thank goodness it's not like just dependent on us. You know, if it was just on us, we will be so gone. So just thankfully that God is working in us and he's sustaining us.
It is he who gives both the desire and the ability to do the good works, and the idea of us even at our best still wouldn't meet his standards. Even at our best. So this doing podcasts in the week, running Bible studies, counseling people, ensuring my marriage is great, preaching on a Sunday, leading worship on a Sunday, driving Carsten to all his places, helping him study, going to the prisons, preaching the gospel in the prisons, going to hospitals, preaching to everybody there. Even if I did all that stuff, it still wouldn't be worthy of his name. The only reason why we are qualified or we do qualify is because his blood has washed us of our sins.
Amen.
And when God sees us, praise God, he doesn't see us.
Yeah.
He sees the righteousness of Christ. And that's what I loved about this verse. In verse 3 it says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God."
Amen.
So always, when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. When Christ shouts at those words, "Tetelestai," it is finished.
Amen.
It means that when you've placed your faith in him, when he's given you that gift of faith, we can now live and walk on this earth knowing that our sins have been atoned for. But now we can live a life of righteousness. It's possible only because we are in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Jabu, I think that's been such a encouraging words to wrap things up. Anything you want to add, brother?
It's been 30 minutes already.
It's been 30 minutes. It just flew. Our freestyle is just like,
man,
I enjoyed this. It was great.
I looked at it when we were in 15 minutes. I'm like, we still got to go. But look, it was good. We enjoyed it. We hope it was a blessing. We hope you don't find this as two guys who have a lot of time on their hands just mumbling on the mic. But I hope this was encouraging to you, and that the Lord would bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you.
Amen. Amen. I just want to pray. Oh Lord, we do want to thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you for your hand that sustains us. Thank you for your precious Son who died in our place, and his precious blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you because in you we have life. And life in abundance, not dependent on circumstances, but dependent on you, the life giver.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask you that you would help us to live a life that glorifies you. We ask you that you will continue to help us to show Christ forth in all that we do, Lord. I do want to pray for those that are in a time of their lives, in a season that are having a difficult time, maybe a dry season, maybe a season where they don't feel close to you. Mm. I ask you, Lord, that you by your Holy Spirit will draw them back to you, even through prayer and meditation on your word, that you will help them to grow in closeness to you, Lord. And so we thank you for your help. We thank you for your hand sustaining us. And we thank you for the church, Lord. We thank you for your bride, in where you have set that we would grow, in the context that we would grow, for the encouragement of fellow believers, even for the rebuke sometimes of fellow believers. Lord, we thank you that we can grow together in the context of the local church. We ask you that you'll bless Central Baptist. We ask you that you'll help us to please you in every way. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining the Theology Alive podcast. Please subscribe and share.
Later.